Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live from First Class Sounds, it's DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby Jade. It's time for Big Facts. And today we got a special guest on Big Facts by the name of NLE Chopper. What's up, man? Welcome to Big Facts, my brother. Welcome to Big Facts. Welcome to the ATL. How you feeling?
I feel too blessed. Real blessed.
Blessed. Yeah. Speaking of blessings, definitely want to salute you. You got your second child on the way, right? A baby boy. You announced that with your girl.
Thank
you. You know what I'm saying? Peace and blessings to you. So what's been going on in the world of NLE Chopper, man? I know you got working on a project and a lot of other things. What's been going on with you?
Man, really just working 24/7. I push myself to exhaustion because I'm a firm believer the energy you put in is what you get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be in the studio. I go in at 10. I won't leave till like 8 in the morning the next day.
Mm-hmm.
When I leave, I only get 2 hours of sleep, and I'm waking up doing other stuff to help, you know what I'm saying, around my music related, whether it's interviews or whether it's drops that I don't really like doing.
No artists like doing them. You got to fuck with the DJs, though.
No, I love the DJs for sure. Mingling with them, I love them. Like, because at the end of the day, without them, a part of me won't be there. Without streams, without these streaming companies, a part of me won't be there. So, if you don't, you cannot like something, but you can still have a gratefulness in you that you do them. You get that shit done. That's how I am, though. Because, you know.
So, look. So, let me ask you this, because this is, like, I know going to be probably, like, the most asked question that people want to know. Because I know you like to try to stay, like, on a positive vibe and, you know, try to, like, block out the negativity and shit. Yeah. But what the fuck happened with the nigga in the airport?
Man, so, look, boom.
Because, like, I know they were trying to make it seem like, the nigga fucking, like, knocked you out or some shit, but it was, like, it wasn't even, if you look at the video, like, it wasn't even that.
Nah, it wasn't.
So, like, what the fuck happened? Like, and what even got it to that point?
And was that this airport here?
Yeah, it was in the, it was in the rental car place.
Oh, the rental car place, okay.
Man, I just took a shit. Like, I was coming out the restroom. I swear to God, I was just coming out the restroom, I took a shit. And I'm in the restroom listening to music. I'm like, man, I had just recorded a song yesterday. I'm like, man, this shit hard. Well, the day before, I was like, shit hard. So, boom, I get on the phone as I'm walking out the restroom with my director, and I ended up losing service.
Right.
And the rental car, I don't know why the service so weak in there. So, boom, I still got my earphones in. I'm walking, and at the phone hung up, the music came back on. And the only thing I see is a nigga walking up to me with a camera, and he like, And I'm like, damn. And he's like, yo, you NLE, right? Like, I guess that was his third time asking because, I got my earphones in. I'm chilling. He's like, you NLE, right? I'm like, what? He said, you NLE, why you acting so scary? I said, scared. And I said, what? And then I must have squared to him, but I wasn't even finna fight him or nothing. I was finna just tell him, like, but chill.
You got on flip-flops and a fucking big-ass bag and shit. Yeah.
My backpack hold all my jewelry. I got these big-ass pieces. Like, my jewelry is, like, 30, 20 pounds itself. So I got a backpack on, flip-flopped up. So I'm really not even, and I'm tired. Nigga, I ain't even feel like doing all that. And so, boom, he said I was scared. He must have jumped at me. Now, there I hit his ass right in his mouth, came back with the left, hit him in the mouth again. Then when we squared up again, I swung through the left, hit him again. When I threw my right, my fucking flip-flop, like, my fucking foot, like, I just felt my fucking ankle just give out, and I just dropped. And as I'm dropping, I'm seeing him swinging another one. I'm trying to move my head out the way of that one. And I dropped and hit the ground. I got right back. Like, as soon as it was like a fucking trampoline. As soon as I hit the ground, I bounced right back up. Because nigga ain't hit me. He ain't hit me not one time, but shit, I mean... No people.
So that, vlog be twisting shit like.
So that was like a what was like a super clout chasing move or something like.
It was a clout chasing move, and then at the same time, certain fans they got a tendency of like getting in their feelings when if we don't acknowledge them
being super aggressive.
But at the end of the day, like. You know what I'm saying? Niggas is human. We human. Like, you don't know how, you don't know what I was just going through. Like, I had just gotten to it with somebody. I was just arguing with somebody previously before I even got to that point. So a lot of stuff build up, certain stuff that you don't see, you know what I'm saying, behind the scenes. And then you come to somebody and you say certain words that's going to trigger that person. And at the same time, I be mad that I react the way I do because I feel like if a person can say something so little that can trigger me, I become a slave to their words.
And it's a weakness.
Yeah, it's a weakness. Yeah. But like if I'm having a good day and he would have came to me like that, I would have smiled it off. Like I would have smiled and I would have been like, bro. I was like, okay, bro, you cool? I'm like, put the phone down. I'm like, if you want a pic, just ask for a pic, brother. Like, I ain't hear you. Like that's how I would have nipped it in the bud. But like a nigga just wasn't feeling like that day. And it's like sometimes I always get caught off guard. The devil gets you on them days that your energy be like that. And
facts.
I got a peep. So, like, I had to go to the club later on that night, and I told myself, I said, man, any situation happen, I'm going to stay true within myself. Like, I don't care what it is, I'm going to just walk away. You know what I'm saying? If a nigga keep pressing and nigga keep doing it, you know what I'm saying? I got to do what I do. But my initial instinct is going to be to just walk away, get out of there, like, you know.
What sparked your health journey, like the herbals and all that?
Honestly, meditation. You know what I'm saying? I was at a point in my life where I was extremely depressed. My anxiety was at the highest, and internally I was at my lows. So one day I was laying on my back and I said this deep prayer. I'm like, man, Heavenly Father, I got everything I want. Like, what is it? What is it? Why am I feeling like this? I had everything I want: jewelry, money, hoes. You know what I'm saying? Being strange, plaques, all that. I had it all, but. What I didn't have is what I needed. You know what I'm saying? I had my wants, I just didn't have the needs. And it was an oath I made with God before I blew up. I said, you know what I'm saying, put me in the space of negativity to where I can change it to make it positive, make an impact in a good way instead of, like, I can rap about it, but let me turn the negative into a positive situation. And I deterred from it, like, because, you know, when you blow up, you get introduced to drugs. It's everything coming at you. And I was 16. I was young. Drugs were taking over me. And I forgot the oath I made with God.
Yeah.
And so once I prayed, right after I prayed, God, it was like God came to me and spoke to me because he knew I was in my lows. He like, and God going to come to you as you. So he didn't come to me like, oh, like he didn't come to me holy. He like, my nigga, you remember that prayer you said? Like,
stand on it.
Like, stand on that shit. Exactly. That's why you feel the way you feel. And, like, it came to me right after I prayed. And then the next morning, I seen a video about meditation. And I'm a firm believer just paying attention to every part of the day. Shit happen for no reason. And you know me, bro, come from the hood. Nigga tote guns. Nigga smoke weed. We do everything that's script related. But, you know what I'm saying? Nigga ain't never, ever told me nothing about meditation. So for me to really look at that and take heed of it was a blessing. Because any other nigga, like, they would have looked at him like, man, fuck out of here. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
And make you stay on it, like, consistently.
It's just a type of calmness it bring me, a type of peaceful state it bring me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just say I didn't meditate that day, but let me have started my day with meditation, that probably would have never went that way. It's dead simple. Like, the greatest people use it. Like, one of my role models, Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe Bryant just off his mindset. But that man, as busy as he was, he implemented meditation every day before he got his day started. Because he felt like it made him feel like the day then, if he didn't chase the day, but the day came to him. Everything just flowed. It just went with it. Like, and, I mean, ever since that day, everything's been better for me. Like, my eyes been way more open. I turned vegan. Cut a lot of people off at the right time. You know what I'm saying? Stop doing drugs. I'm sober, so I'd be cool, you know?
So do you think that, like, your battles with depression and your battles with anxiety and all of the rest of the negativity that comes with the rap shit is what made you get to the point where once you made the decision, like, you're going to get closer to God, you're going to pay more attention, like, to your mediation and your health. Is that what, like, pushed you to be on the verge of, like, almost wanting to completely, like, quit the rap shit? Because of, like, the load that is carried, like, and everything that comes with it?
It for sure pushed me to that point. And it wasn't even just, like, it's not even more so, like, the industry stuff. It's just everything that come with that spotlight. Like, it's just everything that come with it. Yeah, it wasn't even, like, nothing about rap, because rap music is my therapy. I love to go in the studio and record, talk about my feelings. Mm-hmm. I love hitting the stage and seeing my fans and express and interact with them. You know what I'm saying? I love having a fan base that look up to me that I can, you know what I'm saying, change their life. But outside,
like, all the shit that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, outside of that, the behind the scenes shit is what really, like, just dealing with, having to deal with relations with people, not knowing what they really want. Do you want me or do you want
their elite? Real motives and shit? Yeah.
Dealing with people like, as you hear, like, you just don't know. And I got a strong intuition that I realized after I went real clean that everything my intuition was telling me when I was even high and off, it was right.
It was correct.
But, like, nigga, forget about that. If you smoking 100 blunts, you gonna, you know, and I'm saying, I'm like, man, this shit ain't talking about nothing. It'll come back. But you always brush it off. But always my intuition was as strong as it's supposed to be. And it took me to get to the point to where nigga was thinking about suicide. Nigga tried it. You know what I'm saying? That's where I said, I got to be a better
man. But that's common, though. A lot of people have those thoughts and, like, go through that. But it's just, again, another blessing from God that you were able to, like, pull yourself out of that and not, like, completely sink into that and, you know, go through with it.
Yeah, it's something he instilled in me before birth. That, like, he want me to be the testimony for a lot of young men, a lot of young women, everybody. And that's the one thing about me, that's why I'm going to always be good, because at the end of the day, like, people can say, oh, I believe in God. Like, nah, I really believe in God. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, he done showed me miracles. I done seen the devil, my nigga. I done seen God. Like, he done showed me. He done sent me signs before shit happened. He done sent me dreams to where, like, nah, don't go there. You know what I'm saying? Shit done happened in that same spot. You know what I'm saying? So I know he talked to me. I know I'm gifted. I know I'm supposed to do something big on this earth. So at the same time, like, it's just something he instilled in me. And I'm going to be a world changer. This is how I go about everything on me.
That's good. But that's good that it happened so young for you. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes niggas 2 lifetimes to get there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
On me.
Yeah. Take us back to the beginning, though. Before the rap, before that, like, what you was doing?
Growing up in Memphis, all that kind of shit.
Growing up in Memphis, it was just, you know what I'm saying? Really, I was sports related. I wanted to do a lot of sports shit. You can ask mom, like, really wanted to go to the NBA. I played basketball, football. Nigga, I played soccer when I was little.
I played soccer too. I was a goalie.
Yeah. I was a forward. I was real good at sports. I had an athletic. I always been athletic in just any sport. With anything I put my mind to, I was always good in it, but mainly sports, because that's what mom then wanted to keep me in growing up, because I knew the more busy I was, the more I wasn't in trouble. But I just figured out, like, I just feel like it wasn't going to never be for me with sports, because I'm an independent being. So let's just say, boom, I don't like for somebody to, if I have a coach, like, yo, like, y'all need to be in the gym, get these shots up. You know what I'm saying? I like to be like, wake up and be like, I need to go to the gym and get shots up. Like, I don't like to have people in my ear about how I should be doing things or go about things.
Yourself.
Because, it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's a type of independent thing in me. I like advice, but I don't like to feel like, you know what I'm saying?
You're being told what to do.
I work for somebody. And it was just certain things I couldn't. And then outside of basketball, I was cold, man. I ain't going to lie. Basketball, I could have went pro. Football, I was better in football, though, than basketball. I like basketball better. But, like, nigga just couldn't stay out of trouble. That was it, though.
So, like, with the basketball shit, what's going on with this rematch that you're asking about with Chris Brown?
We saw the footage, though.
I saw, you know what I'm saying? Like, it looked like it wasn't even your fault. Like, your leg, you know, might have had a little trouble or gave out again.
Look,
or some shit.
I ain't gonna lie.
What happened?
It's funny you say again, because I failed today. Nigga, I was walking over some food. I said, bro, what the fuck is up with me in this ground? I done failed three times in 24 hours. Like, nigga, Chris Brown dropped me.
Oh, God.
Failed fighting. Then I tripped over food. I'm like, damn, it's some guy trying to tell me go ground myself. Put my feet in the grass or something. Like, that's how I go about it. But, nah, I was just reaching. I tried to reach. I got greedy. You reach, he talk. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted the ball. Huh? Like, I wanted to win that bad that I stuck my whole body out to try to get it, knowing that this nigga is shifty. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, maybe he might lose it. Nigga went right behind his back. Yeah. Then he hit the shot. He gonna hit the shot. He could have passed the ball. Chris, my brother.
He gonna cross you up and then hit the shot.
Yeah, like, he gonna shoot the shot. You my nigga. You supposed to pass that bitch, come help me up.
Miss it a little bit or like, something. What the fuck? Damn, man.
Nah, I fuck with Chris, though. He's a real dude.
Yeah,
real
love. Yeah, for sure.
He knew we got cheated out that game, too. He was like, yeah, they cheat. The way he kissed her. He's like, ain't no way he fell out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million-dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
So you have a new herbal supplement, or is it old, that is supposed to be like a natural BBL and a natural breast augmentator?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about
so,
it.
So, I pretty much got this.
How is it, like, how does that work and how is it natural? Like, okay, I want to know. I'm curious because I'm a female.
Yeah, for sure. You will use, I got like three main herbal supplements that's going into it. That's what make it natural because everything I use, God made. I'm saying right. It's not a hybrid. You ain't go to the lab and make this and make that and make one thing. It's strictly
grown. It's straight
grown.
From where you got it from. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just realized a lot of people glorify really an African body. That's what a lot of women glorify.
Oh, yeah, for
black,
sure.
White, Chinese,
what's that lady's
whatever.
Name? Sarah something? She was like this famous black lady that had like this huge ass and mm-hmm. she had like these really big breasts. Mm-hmm. But she was the white people like back in the day put her in a freak show.
Yeah.
And they used to like I'm gonna find the lady's name, but they used to like have people pay to like look at her naked body. Like white people would come and like
she was African
lots
lady?
Of dollars, yeah, mm-hmm. to okay. look at her naked body. But it was that's how everybody over in Africa looked. Mm-hmm. But they I guess didn't know it or whatever. I'm gonna get the lady's name, but it's basically what you're saying. Like people are fascinated with the
body.
Curvature of African people.
Melanated people.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the trendsetters of everything. Yeah. So to go back to it, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people but still some melanated people still don't have an African body because of what we eat and what we consume here in the U.S., but if you go back to your roots, like everything that a female be wanting within the body comes from what you put into your body, what you eating. So, like, little stuff like the main, like, three ingredients that I have in it is, like, fenugreek. Another one is, it's fennel in general, just fennel
yep.
seeds.
I cook with that sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the main hitter is the akpi seeds. Mm. When you turn akpi seeds or just akpi into a powder, it gets real thick. So that's where the thickness come from. And it's another herb that I was using at first.
Sarah Bartman. Yeah.
I wish I can get the name on the diet, but the scientific name, I only knew the scientific name, and it's real hard to pronounce. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it transfer fat from wherever the body is and then move it to these parts of the body. Mm. But that one ingredient is so fucking strong and powerful that I don't want to use it because most people might not. You gotta really take it a certain way if I was to use that. You can't take too much of it or you can't take too little of it. It's too risky. So I put that ingredient out. But what those three do with the fenugreek, the fennel, and the akpi seeds, the akpi powder mainly makes the thickness, and the fennel is what supplies it towards the body, throughout the body. So one, like the glutes, it really attacked the glutes to make, you know what I'm saying?
And that's basically
bigger.
The foundation of the ass.
Of the ass, yeah. So it make the buttocks bigger, and like a real good thing with it is if you really working out and you implement this shit, like let's just say you make a smoothie with it. You get some peanut butter, some almond milk, and then you dump the concoction in there, and then you got some sea moss and shit with it too. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you, like in two weeks, you will see a difference. It'll be a real transformation, like especially if you're working out. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not working out, it will still do the same.
How you learn all that shit?
So I learned it from reading, watching videos, Dr. Sebi. Whoever I can
like
learn
YouTube
from. Yeah, whoever I can learn from. And then I also test myself on certain things. Like, I got an herbal Viagra. I took it before and not. And my nigga, like, I don't know. Like, the perk heads know. People know, like, if you fucking off a perk, it's like, you ain't gonna nut. Like, you just keep going. It's the equivalent of it. Because, like, I can use my past for my future. Like, I used to pop perks. I know how that shit was. But now I know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's different things you can implement that can give you the same feel. And with that being said, I just be using it on myself. Like, I go on fast so my body will be more clear.
What's the longest you've ever fasted?
A week. A whole week. 7 days.
With no
food.
Was it just a water fast or like?
Water and tea and soup broth. Mm. I'm trying to go on a 30-day one. But what hard, ain't it?
Yeah. You got to have a strong mind to do that.
For real. So. But but the fast I really like doing is not eating for 3 days and eating on the fourth. Then after that, 3 days and eat on the fourth. Mm-hmm. So you'll be consuming, like, what, 2 meals a week. I mean, honestly, that's really how the body's supposed to operate. That's why a lot of people sick, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people realize that, you know what I'm saying? Just like how your brain get a break when you sleep, even though it's still working, but you go into a peaceful state. It's the same with the immune system. You really have a brain down there, too. know what I'm saying? That's why your body is able to tell you when you got to shit. That's why you have bowel movements, because it's really a brain in there. So if you allow the immune system to rest, you got a fourth of your immune system. When your immune system is resting, and it's real big, the one fourth of your immune system is cleaning your body out. It's making sure that it's good. So when you go on those fasts, like, you got a third of your stomach waiting for consumption, but you got the other one fourth cleaning you out, every part of it. Any blood, you're making more white blood cells. It's doing all of that. It's just increasing the immune. So.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for real.
What was the result? I think you issued a challenge some time ago. I think it was that bag of some other people to put down a lean and drink chlorophyll. So what was the result of that? Did a lot of niggas hit you fucking with you on it? Did they tell you it was tripping? Or what was the result of you issuing that challenge?
A lot of people hit me. And what's crazy is a few weeks afterwards, Bag said he quit. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't get any chlorophyll from me. So I didn't want to take credit and say, you know what I'm saying? And plus, I'm not that type of dude. But I feel like me giving the awareness to it is probably like led through signs of him. Because you never know. I might have been the fourth person that said that in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people need to hear that sometimes, because I don't know about other people, but I take heed on signs. He probably took heed on signs. And when I met with him for the video we just shot, he said chlorophyll been in his diet. So you never know. He probably didn't get the chlorophyll from me, but he probably implemented it in his diet. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you gave him the idea to try it.
Yeah. So, and like, so when you get the product, you're not like, man, what the fuck is this? You like, oh, and Ali already said something about it, and this is the exact thing he was talking about. Like,
so it might be okay to kind of like see what's going on with it, because the nigga tried it. So like, let me see what's going on with it. Yeah.
That ain't nothing but God. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing but God putting it in your hand.
You think that? Go ahead,
Scream.
You think that clearer mind like has made your music better? Like, do you enjoy your music better now with that clearer mind and clear spirit?
You just don't know, brother. Like, the shit I'm sitting on, man, it's so diverse, bro. Like, y'all hearing this shit first, like right here, firsthand, right here. The music I have in my vault is unlike any other song you ever hear. Off the simple fact, I'm sober. I'm not coming in the studio unprepared. I really sit down and I write all my music like I'm in a motherfucking cell. From the hook to the last verse, I'm writing it out. And I'm visualizing it as I'm writing, I'm telling the story, I'm painting pictures, I'm doing it. Like, a lot of my older music is mainly hype shit, just get up and just, like, but my music has matured so much to where I can rap on any type of beat and leave the studio with a hit every time. Like, that's why, like, I really love to play my unreleased shit, because, like, when they hear it, they be like, man, why the fuck that's not out? Why the fuck that's not out? Why the fuck that's not out? That's why I'm going so hard this year to get so much of it out. Like, even with this tape, a lot of the music is new. I wrote, it's only two songs that's old on there. You know what I'm saying? I wrote everything else.
That Thug feature is crazy.
Yeah, on me.
That Thug feature is crazy.
I knew he was going to do his shit, too. I was like, on me.
Who you ain't got a chance to work with yet that you want to work with?
Drake. It gotta be Drake, cause at the end of the day, I feel like if this generation and many more generations before, I mean, I feel like he the only rapper I know that's been like they can stay hot two decades straight. He's like 20 years. He down there 20 years in rapping, like not 20, but he started not this decade, but the decade before. He was probably seven. He started like on his seventh year, the 10-year decade. And since then, he was coming up. And then by the second year left of that decade, he was on top of his game. Then coming into this decade, he was leading this decade. And now we down there on a new decade. We 2 years in on another decade, he's still leading. That's down there 3 decades. Like, nobody really doing that. Like, I swear, nobody really doing that. I just found that shit crazy that somebody can stay there relevant. And I just feel like, you know what I'm saying, they just come within you being a good person. You know what I'm saying? It's you being pure. People with good heart, like, you get that type of blessing. Like, you get an immortal career. And I feel like I'd be on the same path with it. You know what I'm saying? And musically, I just love his music. I feel like it's stupid advanced, too.
Yeah.
Man, I hear about a lot of shit. When I wake up in the morning after my meditation workout and shit, you know, you eventually make your way to your phone. And I've heard a lot of crazy shit. Nothing amazes me or throws me off. But that whole NLE Chopper
overdose on breast milk shit was just
bruh. The
most fucked up, craziest.
I was just gonna ask about that.
Like, what the fuck? Where they even come from? Like, what's I don't that? Even understand. They say he was.
They said that he overdosed and he had to be hospitalized because he OD'd on breast milk.
And it's like, what the?
Honestly, though, some people would believe that shit because I feel like they just think this the type shit I be on. They like, he went hospitalized because he was fasting with breast milk. So niggas was really hitting my line like, you okay?
First off, where would he get the breast milk from, though?
Yeah, where like, how did the breast milk even enter about? The chat or become like, what a part saying? Of the equation? Like,
I have no clue, man.
That's wild. That's
it was
wild.
Funny as hell, though. I had to repost it, though, because a lot of people was texting me. They was like, yo, you okay? I heard you in the hospital. And they wasn't joking. They was
dead
serious.
Yeah, I want to make sure you straight.
I'm like, bro, y'all really believe this shit?
People you did the tats. Huh? You did the tats on your back. I just seen it online the other day.
Dennis Whisworth, you tat Young Thug.
Yeah, yeah.
He tat Thug.
How long that took?
About 2 days.
You let him put you to sleep? You let him put you to sleep?
Hell no.
You know what they doing now, though?
Anything that make me go to sleep, I'm scared of it. Because I like to wake up. Yeah. I love my life. Yeah.
Right.
Don't put me to sleep for shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He do Nomicrine, though. But it's like the tat takes so long that the Nomicrine wear the fuck off.
Yeah.
So you feel that shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? Then by the time it wear off, your skin be sore.
That shit hard.
So you feel that shit. No. But yeah, it was hard.
So like on a 1 to 10, what's your threshold for pain?
I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm a young melanated man.
Can you take it or like eventually will you bitch up? Like, what's going on?
I'm a young melanated man in America. We don't feel pain all our life. So
real shit.
I can take that shit. Like, yeah. Okay. I sit there and I take it, man. I've been feeling pain since I was little, so, you know what I'm saying?
Say less. Cool. Say less.
Why you name your album Me Versus Me?
Me Versus Me. I named it that because I feel like through the process of when I first blew up to even before then to even now, I've been just battling myself. Everything is within me. Everything I battle is within myself. Even if somebody say something to alter what I'm trying to think of or what I'm trying to accomplish, I still go back to self and be like, was he right? Should I do this? Should I do that? It's just always, I feel like a lot of people don't understand that they fight themselves more so than anybody
that
throughout
the day. That internal battle is a motherfucker.
For real. Mm. We be the biggest enemies to ourselves. That's why I named it Me Versus Me, because it was like, I always just been an enemy to myself within my thought. And I just feel like just applying that concept would probably, you know what I'm saying, just step into my life, you know, just let people know that I battle myself more so than any motherfucking thing ever.
So what's one of the most important legacies that you want to curate or leave for your kids?
The balance I have. To be able to rap about one subject or talk about one subject, but be able to come back the next day and tell you, make sure you straight with your health or make sure I help and heal you or touch you in a way.
Yeah.
I just want to show like, it's not bad to be a good person. Yeah, be a good person. Like, have a good heart. I feel like this day and age is lacking balance, man. Everybody want to shoot. Everybody want to kill. Everybody want to fight, but nobody want to heal or nobody want to help. I'm saying don't nobody want to uplift. And I feel like that's what's that healing, helping, and uplifting is what gonna take my career to where it's supposed to be more so than me just rapping.
About
just being,
killing a nigga every other lyric and you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Anybody can take a life, but I feel like, you know what I'm saying, the most gangster shit I ever did was to save one. You know what I'm saying?
And try to understand where the other person was coming from. Yeah.
It don't mean like I done been on both sides of that shit.
Yeah.
So I know what really resonate with my soul, what I really love. What really showed me something to where I'm like, okay, I'm powerful. Anybody can stand over a nigga, put 20 in him, do all this, dumping the man down. But who can you save laying on a deathbed? Like, shit like that is godly, my nigga.
Yeah.
You get somebody another chance at life. Do you know that shit that God do? That shit that doctors do? Giving another person another chance at life instead of taking one? I feel like that shit beautiful on me.
Where your main inspiration come from?
Honestly, a lot of Tupac, really. Like, Pac, I just loved him as a person. And my mama, too, man. My mama, like, for real. Like, my mom, Pac, my mom. Like Pops, little Pops, he a little thawed out though. He thawed out. But but Mama, like, she real deal.
Oh, hi, Mom.
She just, yeah, Mom's like, she implemented it young in my head. Like, I remember when she told me, I say this every time in an interview, asked me where my inspiration come from. It was like, I was in the car, I was about 6 years old. Mama was like, what you want to be when you grow up? I said, NBA player. And she said, what if that don't work out? I said, I said, I want to work at McDonald's. And you know, a young nigga, like, I'm young, but that's crazy that that even crossed my mind. And I was dead serious. I was young, but I was dead serious.
Kids love McDonald's.
Yeah, we love McDonald's. And she said, she damn near smacked me. she like, nah, you want to own the McDonald's. And that's when she, bro, she just don't know. Like, a lot of people don't remember something at that age. I remember that, and I took heed of that for the rest of my life. I never worked a job out of that. I never worked a job. You can't say Chopper was 9 to 5. Never.
Yeah.
I was, what I was doing, if I was putting my money here, I was hustling. I was putting my money here. Like me, I wanted to be different. Everybody selling dope. Everybody selling weed. I'm like, all right, boom. I want to hustle different. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to this nigga that's going to sell me these fake-ass Gucci belts for $20, $30, and I'm going to go to school, bust heads. I'm going to sell it for the 80 and 100. And say, listen, this shit real. You see the cereal on it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I was about 8 years old. I got wristbands, and I used to go to the barber shop. And I used to be like, you know what I'm saying? It was summertime. Mosquitoes be crazy in Memphis summertime. So I'm like, I got these wristbands. I bought the whole pack. It was like 40 of them in one pack. Bought them for like 99 cents. Man, I walked to the goddamn barbershop. I'm like, yeah, these wristbands, they keep mosquitoes off you. Lying my ass out, just hustling. I'm selling them $3. $3, 3 times 40. I ain't no mathematician. That's a profit, goddamn.
100% profit.
What, 99 cents?
What? You made 120 off a dollar?
Man, what? Then one time, I remember this shit, like, I was young, so I ain't really want to get into no business with having plugs or trying to get weed in and shit, because at the same time, I liked my freedom and I was smart. I just wanted to be a finesse. I wanted to finesse but still make my money. I tell you, I kid you not, man. Pop here to tell you, bro. I went outside, got some leaves, right? Just broke the leaves down, put it in the microwave so it got a smell to it. Acted like it was weed. My nigga, I swear to God, on God, I could sell a dream to anybody. Like, real P, we from Memphis. We really selling dreams. We could do it now. So, boom, I put it in the microwave and get a stench to it. I bag it up, put it in plastic. So, boom, I was like, damn, I got weed behind me. Make them believe me. I'm gonna have to make my product look real. Boom, I invited some niggas over to the crib. We rolled the little leaves up. Bro, I had everybody smoking it. And I'm hitting it. I'm acting like I'm hitting it. I'm blowing it out. I'm not inhaling it.
Yeah.
But kids want to be so cool and so naive. Tell me why them niggas was acting high. Swear to God, I went to school the next day. They like, Chop got weed. Like, they was telling everybody about it. Everybody came to me for I was breaking heads. 20 pop. I had it stacked up. I swear to God. Swear to God. Selling leaves. I swear to God.
The key phrase that he just said, why was everybody acting high?
Acting high.
We have been around niggas like that. Acting
for real.
For sure.
Man, this niggas grown niggas that do that shit to this day.
For real.
How you keep from letting women be a distraction?
That's the only thing that I feel like does distract me. I'm a Scorpio. I'm handsome. They throw it at me, man, honestly. But, you know what I'm saying? But, see, I'm a very disciplined person, though. So even within that, I go on celibacies. I have to. I feel like it's very important, especially.
So basically, your meat is not for the streets.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I gotta implement celibacy. Like, it'll be weeks. Like, I feel like it'll be, like, the longest I went is, like, 3 weeks without sex. And as a man that's in this game and that's as freaky as I am, goddamn, like, that's different. You know what I'm saying? It's very different.
Yeah.
So I feel like implementing celibacy and trying to, you know what I'm saying, stay focused with that. You know what I'm saying?
That's a strong form of discipline, though.
Yeah, for real. I feel like my whole life is surrounded around discipline. Like, I don't eat meat. I don't do none of that around.
What kind of religion do you practice?
None. I ain't got one.
You're an atheist?
Not an atheist. I believe in God and prayer. Okay. But I don't get into religion. I just feel like...
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay.
You know, I just... I don't know, Catholic churches sold tickets to heaven before I was here. So, you know what I'm saying? I just look at certain shit like naive on my vision, you know. But at the end of the day, I believe firmly in God. I believe he's within you every step of the day. He's with you. I'm saying prayer. That shit saved my life. So I'm never an atheist, though.
Okay, I know
he real.
How you deal with entitlement? Like, are people who think they knew you before you was this and now you this, feel like you owe them something? How you deal with that shit?
Cut them off. Simple.
What if it's a family member?
Family member, cut them off. Simple. Because at the end of the day, I know I don't owe nobody nothing. Because I could tell you, I could ask you what you did for me, and it'll be nothing. Like, if you was there, just being there ain't enough.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Just being there is not enough. You know what I'm saying? But I remember the people who gave me the rides to the studio. I remember them people who scraped up change with me. Nigga, I paid a studio session in quarters one time. Like, it was like 40 an hour. I had like $36, but I had like four more dollars in quarters. Like, niggas went around scraping up change, trying to make sure that the studio session was right. You wasn't doing nothing but smoking weed around me, quote unquote, protecting me. You know what I'm saying? But I was always the one fighting myself, shooting myself, popping shit off myself. Like, nobody ever really was really just there genuinely. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't move with 30 niggas, because I done been with 30 niggas and I done been the only nigga fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I done seen it before. I done been with 40 niggas and I be the one to get locked up. So, like, I don't owe nobody
that shit is unbelievable.
I don't owe nobody nothing. Family, I don't owe no family nothing. Like, I believe so. My family members ain't like me growing up. You know what I'm saying? Cause I was that bad. But ain't nobody understand me. Ain't nobody had that much patience with me to understand why I was bad. I was just me. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
But on me, it's certain people that I when I felt I owed, I did some for them off rip when I blew. To the point where, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm comfortable
so
now.
So you basically cleared all your debts already.
Yeah, I cleared it.
Yeah.
Like, nigga that was scraping change with me, boy, I'm going to tell you, man, I gave a nigga $10,000. I gave him more than what we scraped up change with. I gave him $10,000 for the nights that I had to sleep. I had to come sleep at his house because we probably got into it at the household. You know what I'm saying? I gave him $10,000 for them days that they looked out at me and fed me when, you know what I'm saying, I wasn't with my parents or something because we had a disagreement. So it was never, she kicked me out like two times, one time. Sometimes I left myself. Sometimes I left myself and I just leave because I just needed a break and I was going through a lot.
Yeah.
So I paid somebody back for them times. But can you believe a motherfucker will still get ungrateful with you and try to take it there with you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't owe nobody shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I done did that. I done paid a motherfucker more than what they done did.
Like,
for
overcompensated.
Me. What? And I still get, like, snaked on the back end, talked about on the back end. Like, I don't know. Life funny to me. Life real funny.
How you create healing within your household, like with your folks when you was going through it with them, and then by the time you started rapping, it clicked in your head that, damn, I'm going to need my folks regardless of who we've been going through it?
Man, because at the end of the day, every situation that me and my parents clashed heads on, they one of my best interests. Mm. It wasn't because they hated me.
Mm-hmm.
It was because, nigga, we live in Memphis, everybody dying.
Mm.
It, when them days where I used to want to go, like, Pop, let me out. Let me go to the, let me go here. Like, please, let me go here. All my friends here. It wasn't because he didn't want me to have fun. He knew that I was immature and I would probably get us some shit.
Yeah.
And I fuck around and die. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I peeped. That's what I realized. And I realized that when I started blowing up because I wasn't a child no more. Like, I had to grow up so fast.
Be a man.
I had to mature. So when I look back on everything, I was like, man, people ain't hate me. They just wanted the best interest. Like, it was a certain point of time that they was mad that, like, I was going to the studio and stuff. And obviously, my mama, she spent, bro, my mama always had money. I ain't never had to, like, just really do half the shit I did, even though, like, she wouldn't just give it. I wasn't spoiled. But she had it. She had my needs. I had clothes on my back. I had food. You know what I'm saying? We had a great house to live in. But the shit that I wanted is what drove me to do certain shit that I ain't really had to do. But on top of that, mom, she always had it for me. And she spent so much money on me training and just being a player, basketball player, stuff like that. And it just felt like a slap in the face when I do certain shit. I get in trouble. Police would come looking for me. Or I go here and I say I'm in the studio. She'd be like, what the fuck? I spent down there close to a million since you've been young. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't had that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Do you feel like keeping like you got your mama here, your dad here today, you think that helped you stay grounded?
Man, that's the only reason why we ain't continue to fuck dude up yesterday. Because of her. She grabbed me like.
Oh, that shit happened yesterday?
Yeah. That shit happened yesterday.
Oh, damn.
She grabbed me, you know what I'm saying? And I knew I had to bring her apart because I ain't trust. I got trust issues. I don't trust a soul. So I can't trust nobody. I'm just me to handle my money. Shit like that when I'm blowing up. When I was blowing up, I said, Mom, you will not believe this shit. Remember all them days I told you all this shit I was doing to make you cry was going to pay off? Like, I really told her that on the phone. I'm like, remember all them days. Remember all them days I told you I was going to be something? Like, for real, I really did told Mama while she was crying. And I go up to her, I be like, Mom, I'm sorry. Just understand, I promise you, I'm going to pay you back in tons, bro. Like, I told her that. And 2 weeks later, Two weeks after me telling her that, 2 or 3 weeks, I blew up, bro. And when that call came, when them labels was DMing me, hitting me and shit, I looked at my mama. I called my mama. I went outside. I'm like, Mama, they want to fly us to L.A. They want to do it. They want to sign me. And I'm like, yeah. And click. Like, what the fuck? She hung up in my face. She thought I was playing on her phone. but like, I had called her back. I'm like, dead serious. I put you on the phone with these people. Like, they really want to do it. And I'm not doing it without you because I don't trust nobody else. Mm. I feel like I'm going to get fucked over. So
That's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they ain't know nothing about music. We learned the industry together. We sat down and every label but one Tricky wanted to meet me. Even the one that I didn't go to wanted to meet me. I just didn't make it to him. Every label I met with everybody. Cash Money, Birdman was in the studio with him. What's Birdman, brother?
Slim
in the studio with all of them. I met with Atlantic, the Columbias. I met with everybody. And it's just within all that, I peeped, they were saying all the same shit. Everybody was saying the same thing, doing the same thing.
Just doing what felt right.
Yeah, just what felt right.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What's your pet peeve about the industry? What's the worst shit?
What you mean, like, as far as industry?
Could be. What's dealing with artists, dealing with features, dealing with labels, dealing with, I wouldn't say shows, I wouldn't say fan. I mean, I don't know. Just what part of the industry can you do without? Let me say it that way.
Like, you're straight on that part of the industry.
I don't know. What is it, mom? You will know. She know me better.
If you could change one thing in the industry, what would it be?
Being banned from Instagram for life.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
You banned for life?
Hell yeah, they doing me better. Worse than the judicial system.
What you did?
What they say you did?
What they said I did?
First it was the guns. Then it was posting another minor. He's 16. He posted a minor that did a challenge. So when doing the challenge, he reposted it. He didn't even post it. He don't know that it's a minor. He's 16.
So yeah. Number one, ain't there a lot of people posting guns on Instagram that still got their Instagram?
I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I ain't no motherfucking gotcha. Snitch, but I done seen pussy on niggas' Instagram. And niggas come back the next day with this shit. But I'm banned. Like, I can, like.
That was your first strike.
If you make a new page,
delete it. That shit coming off.
You got a fan page or something? I saw something.
So when we put this out, when we post you, they ain't gonna take our shit.
Nah,
TikTok shit. They looking for you.
They looking.
So that's why you be. That's why you be on Twitter so much.
I be on Twitter. Yeah. They said it was revenge porn because I reposted a girl twerking to a challenge of my song. They said she was minor and all this, but at the same time, I was 16, my damn self. And y'all know, man, these women don't look like no damn minors these days.
Wow.
Everybody did.
Face, so how would you know this?
Couldn't see the face. It was just butt.
It was like her side. It really wanted to. I think if y'all really wanted to push the issue about that, y'all could beat that shit in court.
I don't. Court. Ain't no court. Them folks got a right to do what they want to do with their Instagram.
It's they company. You're going to court about their policies.
Yeah, you can't.
So you really fighting. That's like going to somebody's house and killing them and then say self-defense, but you was at his house.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know, man.
That's crazy. They
never even gave him an appeal process or nothing. They just banned him for life. Yeah. 16.
So that's wild.
He's been doing all this stuff with his career without Instagram.
Plex, still coming in.
That's crazy.
So did you have previous run-ins before?
I mean,
you get flagged for sure. And I had that account since I was before I blew. So, of course, I've been flagged many a time. It's just about,
damn.
I don't know, bro. I just, I'm the type of nigga, I'm like, man, I know there's people doing worse shit than me. That's the type of nigga I am. Like,
you know, especially now if you kicking some, like, positive energy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would think they would reevaluate.
Yeah. I ain't nowhere near on what you do I was your on shit. At first.
That's how y'all help us out. Y'all tell
everybody,
hey, Instagram, let's start this.
Free NLE?
Petition.
Free NLE?
Nah, real shit.
We're going to start free NLE, Chubba?
Somebody need to make
so that. So you tried to make another page?
Yeah, I made one like a little bit after that, and about like two, 3 days, it was deleted. Made another one after that, it was deleted.
It was deleted, and you ain't had no bullshit on there. They just, you back, you got to go. That's wild.
Damn.
That shit is really depressing, honestly.
That's wild.
Being honest.
That's wild.
I feel your pain.
I'd be like.
But do you think there might be one positive thing about that? Like,
what?
Okay, so like your shows, your fans got to be super excited to see you because they can't see you kick it every day.
Honestly, taking my Instagram was a blessing and a curse because, like, it helped me to understand what the fuck is real.
Mm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up. A lot of people didn't grow up in a phone age, so they know, like, what real life is. They know that going outside and doing shit like that, like, when I got a phone, I ain't really go outside no more.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that was what my life consisted around.
Yeah.
A fucking social media post or some likes or some comments and shit. Mm. And honestly, bro, that's why even the most streetest niggas, when they get on this app, they be getting caught up because they think that's what life is. Mm-hmm. But it's
everybody, you think everybody see this shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
I changed my life off this shit. Like, I realized what was really important.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I realized that them people, well, all them likes and shit, that's not what love is. You see that heart, that's not love.
Mm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not, a comment, that's not love. You're not, you see that shit over the media. You don't really feel that shit, though. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people don't love themselves. That's why a lot of people don't look in the mirror, don't like their lips. That's why a lot of people look in the mirror, don't like their tits. They don't like their butt. It's because they see so much shit.
They comparing it to.
And they comparing it to. It's really a curse. Really.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
For real. Mm-hmm.
So you don't miss it. You probably miss interacting with your fans and shit like that, but you
miss
don't.
The fuck out of it. I used to go live and just check the shit out of everybody. Oh, yeah. I just roast people. Like, yeah. That was the fun of it. You know what I'm saying? Go live with your fans and see them. You know what I'm saying? And be able to post. Like, now I got to send post in, and then it got to go through people. You know what I'm saying? It just be different, bro.
It's a hassle.
It's just.
What was that moment? What was that moment in the rap game that you feel like, shit, man, I'm the shit. I did this shit.
Man, I remember this one show I had envisioned. I had envisioned before I blew. I seen it before I blew up. It was like, bro, it was a whole fucking stadium. It was in, was it Virginia? St. Louis. It was at a college in St. Louis. And the whole, bro, it was like 10,000. It was before Corona. It was like 10,000 or 15,000 people in there. All had their flashlights on. It was a fucking dome. And there was so many people, man, and they got the rocking, and bro, we just felt like that was the shit I saw that nobody else saw, that only God showed me to let me know that I was on the right path with what I was doing. That's why I used to look at mama and be like, trust me, I got you, I got you. I'm seeing shit. I really see it. I really feel it. You know what I'm saying? I visualize it. I got it. It's within me. Trust me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that moment when I saw that, it let me know that I was on the right path. You know what I'm saying? And what really made me feel the shit now is that I don't have the resources that a lot of these artists have, and I still get plaques in.
Yeah.
I still just got one gold plaque, another gold one, and two platinums just last week. Just did it. And, you know what I'm saying? I don't got the accesses that everybody else do.
You know, it's true with him being one of the youngest investors in tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Investing in different shit like Riff. Like, I got took off one platform, but Riff, they allowed me to come on their platform and be able to do stuff on there and buy a percentage in their company to where we could both make money with it instead of just being on the app posting for free.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, it's the only app that help with streams. It can help your streams as an artist. You know what I'm saying? You can be sitting in the room just playing your music and people just in there and at the same time streaming. So I'm saying it's coming straight from Apple, Spotify, whatever. It's streaming.
Mm. Have you gotten to the NFTs yet?
I don't know. I feel like every time I try to get into them, it's like get disturbed away. I don't like the force, man. If it's forced, I feel like it's illegal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If it come to me one time though, I don't mind doing it. And so.
What's some game you get like a young rapper that might have just signed a contract? Like, so, because you see a lot of young niggas fuck their money up fast, like real fast, you know what I'm saying? And they be back to square one. So, what's some game you get somebody that might have just signed that contract and got that bread?
Save your money. Save it. Like, if you sign for $1 million, you need to at least put $700,000, $800,000 in the savings.
Mm.
Use that other $200,000 to invest. Don't get no chain, don't get none of that shit. I ain't start buying jewelry to my third year in.
Okay.
Like, everything else before that was gifts. You know what I'm saying? So, like, no, just invest your money. Like, buy shit that's going to raise in value. Get a house. Get a home. Mm-hmm. Improve your home. Because your houses ain't going to be a number bigger. Right. Never know when you want to sell it. You never know when you want to rent that house in.
Right.
Rent that house off. Or just, you know what I'm saying? Invest your cash. I done invested in my own herbal website.
You got a food truck, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Food truck.
Is it like a regular food truck or like a vegan food truck?
Vegan food truck.
Okay.
Me, I feel like it's needed in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? I know how much food can change the thought process because it changed mine. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people in Memphis eat vegan food. The murder rate will go down. A bit money on it. Just, it probably won't go down drastically, but a small percentage for sure. And that's just one step, man. You know what I'm saying? Helping your city. I was the type of nigga, like I said, when I blow up, I'm not moving out of my city. I want to implement the right shit in my city to where I can better my city. That's why I feel like Memphis don't go nowhere. Because we ain't putting nothing into our city to make sure our kids, make sure the grown-ups even are on a better mind state. Like, I done invested in schools. I done put libraries in schools.
How hard is that, though, like, just seeing that a lot of times, a lot of rap artists' demise is at home?
Some people, bro, I'm not gonna lie. Some people just, like I said, like, it just be so much shit going on. You can't blame them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of shit that go on in your own city, mm-hmm. rather than outside of any other city. And certain people just, I wouldn't just say scared, but they're scared of death. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't want to face that, and that's all they think about when they're in that city. But I feel like my path is different because I'm actually doing something. I'm living for God, and I feel like I'm not going to die until I complete that shit. Mm. So I know everywhere I go, I'm good. I know, because I know it's a burden on my shoulder that God got me carrying, that he not going to take me away until I complete it. Then after that, I can worry about if a nigga got to give me. You know what I'm saying? But as long as you living in purpose, you good. Mm. You for sure good. Because if you living in purpose, God gonna want he gonna want you to fulfill that purpose as much as you wanna do it. You know what I'm saying?
He's gonna make sure you hang around until you get it done.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
If he know your heart, if he know your heart, if he know internally you gonna do something that's gonna change generations of people's lives, God ain't gonna take you away. Cause if I drop right now, I know it ain't another nigga that could pick up the burden I carry. Mm. I know for shit. So, for sure.
So, what do you like to do, like when you have like free time and spare time to enjoy yourself?
Probably play basketball. Cause honestly, like
you don't like to travel. You don't like to play games. You don't like to like.
I play games too.
Fucking go. Rafting, like none of that shit, like rafting. Nothing.
I'm gonna tell you,
rafting.
I'm really.
I mean, I know niggas don't typically raft.
No, niggas don't typically raft, Jay.
I'm really, like, honestly,
any kind of activity, like.
I just feel I'm a workaholic.
Like to play Connect Four, anything, like nothing.
I'm really just a workaholic, honestly.
Okay.
I feel like it's gonna come a time where, like, I take an hour, 2 hours of my day to play a game sometime, just to feel like a kid. I'm 19.
So you don't take vacations or nothing?
No, this year I'm scared to go out the country. I ain't trying to get forced to take nothing.
Vacations when you in this shit though, like you kind of go get the kicking and work at the same time, right?
Yeah, but when you travel, like you don't really have a whole lot of time to like.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like my mind, bro. I can't relax. I cannot relax.
Why do you think that is?
Because I just like to get stuff done. I don't know. I like feel like I feel like if I'm relaxed, somebody else working. And I'm uncomfortable with this shit on me. Like, yeah. If I'm relaxed, it's somebody out there going harder than me.
Okay.
I got to go hard. I'm going to know when I need to relax, though. I'm going to know when. But right now, it ain't right now. I got to go hard.
Okay.
Oh, God.
19, bro. You got a long way to go in this shit. That's good when you come in like that.
Yeah.
Young and already hot. You ain't got can't do nothing but get hot.
For real. Mm-hmm.
So, knocking down them goals young, so they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So,
and the way you thinking, this shit going to keep you around a long time, dog.
Appreciate it.
Real shit.
Appreciate it.
100, man. We appreciate NLE Chopper pulling up the big facts. The project Me vs. Me is 128.
Yep. 128.
Officially, I promise. Give us one bomb from Me vs. Me. Exclusive information. A bomb. It could be a feature. It's something. Something to look forward to.
Like she said, I got a thug feature. We supposed to be shooting it while I'm out here.
Shooting a video tomorrow.
Okay.
On me. No thug.
He went crazy on that shit. Like, the song is bananas.
Okay.
For real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's what it is. We appreciate you.
TV show coming
soon.
What you doing on the TV show?
Food truck. Traveling the country with his food truck.
Okay. Oh, really?
Vegan food truck. He going to be in different cities.
That's like YouTube or TV or both of them?
TV.
Okay.
That's TV.
Like the spring,
you
the summer.
You actually be cooking on this shit or like what you going to be doing?
I cook. Movie coming soon, too.
Movie coming soon, too.
I don't know. I'm just speaking it.
Right. Get it done before 20.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of this shit on the way.
Exactly. Set some new goals.
Working.
Much continued success to you, NLE Chopper. www.bigfaxpod.com. Check us out. Salute.
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That merch in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfaxpod.com.
Yeah.
With the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfaxpod.com.
Let's get it.
Get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat Merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfaxpod.com. Visit now.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.